Now, I used to think that I was a urgent, fast-paced type of person, but as I've grown older, that rosy view of myself has kind of gone away, and I'm actually more of a slow-paced person. Here's the first inclination that I kind of got, that I was slow-paced. I was working as, I just got a job, like, right out of college, or I was in college, and I got a job at Macaroni Grill, the restaurant, and I was a server. And so I had been going through the process and learning how to do it, and I was still in training, and I'm serving people and the whole deal, being a server. And my manager said to me, "Nigel, I need you to have a sense of urgency. I need you to have a sense of urgency about you right now. Like, you're not missing orders, you're nice, you're personable, but I need you to pick up the pace a little bit." And the point was, if you're serving somebody their food, that's your job. Someone's paying you to serve somebody. Their needs, their wants, their desires, that's what you care about. You're serving them. And so you gotta care about that. Their needs and their wants, they're urgent. And so you gotta have a sense of urgency about that. You gotta get up and you gotta get their stuff and you gotta be paying attention to them. Don't be going slow, go fast, because they want it when they want it. You're serving them. That's what you do. That's what it is. I had another example where I was interning at a church. It was a big church, and we had a group that of volunteers that was working in a ministry, and it was my task, a part of the team. This one day, we were having a meeting, and I was to get the lunch, and I got it, and I was there 5 minutes late. I got there 5 minutes late. It was in Dallas. There was a lot of traffic, and my boss said to me, "Nigel, don't do that. Don't do that. You have volunteers here coming on a lunch day. They're coming away from work. They're volunteering with the ministry. Have a sense of urgency. Don't waste their time. You need to care about them." When you care about somebody, when you're serving, when something's important, you're urgent about it, right? You don't lollygag. You don't just sit back. You don't play Monopoly when the Titanic's going down. You are active. You're deliberate. You make sure things happen. You attend to them. My wife, when she cleans the house, it's an urgent affair. When I clean the house, not so much. It gets done, but it's not as urgent for me. Right? I don't care about it as much. I should. I should be a good husband, but it's a little harder for me. Now, even though my personality isn't urgent, I can become urgent when the need arises. And I know you can too. So this isn't a personality issue thing today. This is a, what is the need? So you may already be an urgent person. You may be fast-paced, high capacity. That may be you. Great, fantastic. I want you to get on the right thing. But if you're a slow-paced person, you relax, chill, going slow, that's fine. I need you to get on the bus. You need to get on this. And you need to be urgent about this. The need for the gospel is urgent. And you can rise to the occasion. The choice is yours, if you will. Now, it's a new decade. We don't know the future. My parents didn't know in 1980 that I was going to be born in 84. My brother was going to be born in 87. They had no idea that the Berlin Wall was going to fall in 89. Hey, Rob was there in Berlin in 89. And days before it happened, he's got excellent stories, by the way. You definitely want to go talk to him about being in Berlin in 1989. But even days before that, they had no idea that the wall was going to fall. No idea that communism was going to collapse. We don't get to predict the future. We don't see it. When we hit a new decade in the 2000s, and it was coming up, 1999, what were we afraid of? What were we concerned about? Y2K. That didn't turn out to be anything. What were we not concerned about at all? 9/11. We weren't concerned about planes flying into buildings. Now, do you think we would have looked at that a little different if we had known that was coming? Yeah, absolutely. 6 days ago, I had my alarm up concerning impeachment. I still have my alarm up on that. You know what I didn't have my alarm up on? Iran. One missile strike later, guess what I have my alarm up towards? War with Iran. I don't know what's coming. I don't know if it's going to happen. It's going to be a big deal if it does. Now, we don't get to know what's coming. But if we knew that 9/11 was going to happen, do you think we would have prepared differently? Absolutely. Right? If you know something's coming and it's big and it's important, it's huge, you pay attention. You get urgent with it. Now, we don't know exactly what's coming in this next decade. But that doesn't mean we don't know anything. There are some things that we do know. And so let me go through some things that we do know. And so this is the point. If you have the Bible verses, we're going to start going through a number of Bible verses here. Here are a number of things that we do know. And trigger warning, now we're going to get into it. Here are some things we know. Number one, from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We fight a war. We have spiritual weapons that destroy fortresses, we're told. Gracious. Why do we need such spiritual weapons? Ephesians 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. It gets worse. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Why? Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. We are fighting a spiritual battle against a powerful spiritual enemy who hates us and wants to destroy us and everything that we love. Revelation 21:8. These are things we know. But for the cowardly, the unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and immoral persons, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We know this. You catch that? We know this. This is what has been revealed to us. A lake of fire that people go into. We're not playing games. This is real. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. War with Iran would be devastating. But it would be nothing compared to everlasting hell. Do you understand that? We may be terrified of what's coming with Iran. That may happen, it may not, it may be awful, it may be nothing. We don't know. Here's what we do know. Hell exists. Judgment is coming. That's real. That's been revealed. The gospel is urgent, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what it says right after the wages of sin is death. It says this, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gospel gives us the privilege of becoming disciples of Jesus. We get to be saved from sin. We get to be saved from hell, and we get to be filled with his spirit and to become like him. That's what the gospel gives us. The gospel is urgent. It is the most important thing that we have. The elders, we've come up with a plan for this year. It's our vision 2020 that we've been talking about a lot and that we've been saying about. And over the next month or so, I'm going to be preaching about what the vision is, what we want to be doing this year, and why we want to be doing it, and how we're going to do it. And for Sunday school, I'm going to be preaching on or teaching on discipleship pathway and evangelism and things that go along with it. And by the way, I really want I don't say this all the time, but for the next foreseeable future, you want to be in Sunday school. This is something that I'm calling you guys to, because this one's going to be big. This is foundational for who our church is and what we're doing and why we're doing it and all of that. So if you can make it, I would love for you to be coming to Sunday school for this next series if you can. And so we got this game plan. We came up with this game plan, and we feel an urgency about it. And we feel like, man, this needs to happen. We want to see this happen. We want to see us have 500 gospel presentations. And by the way, we started counting. So if you present the gospel outside of a church ministry context, you tell Willie, you let her know, because we're starting to count. We want that to happen. We also want to see everyone grow in, as a disciple, and we want to see 50% of our members be in one of our life groups. Those are our goals, and we feel urgent about it. But having said that, I want you to hear this. It's not from us. It's not ours. It wasn't the elders here. Now, I am very careful. I'm very careful. Saying something comes from God. Being in my position, you can do damage claiming something's from God as a pastor when it's not from God. So I'm really careful about that. I don't want to make mistakes about that. But let me tell you really clearly, the vision that we have is from God. Here's how I know. Number one, everything in it is coming derived directly from Scripture. Number two, we ask the Lord to come and be with us and to guide us and direct us. Number three, among us, we had unity in the way that what came out. We had other options. We had other things that we were looking at. And God directed us to these things. So the things that we had in our vision, they came directly from God. They're not from us. They're from Him. Here's what He's screaming. This is what God is yelling at us. The gospel is urgent. Let me read portions of the Sermon on the Mount to you. We just went through the Sermon on the Mount for a huge amount of time. Let me read I'm going to pick out some portions of it. I want you to listen to it. Listen to Jesus's words. Not my words, Jesus's words. And listen to how He talks about the urgency of the situation. You've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than your whole body to go into hell. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The judge says that. That's Jesus's words. Do you hear the urgency? Do you catch what he's saying? His words. My job is to give you what he said. There it is. His urgency. That's how he cares about it. The God of the universe has that urgency about it. I don't like scaring anybody. I don't want to scare you away. But you need to know. That's the urgency level that Jesus has here. Later in Matthew, he's going to go on and say this. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is real. The destruction that the godless cause right now is real. Think about how important the gospel was to the Trinity. Think about it. The gospel happened because Christmas happened. Where was Jesus before? He was in heaven, ruling, reigning. Everything was perfect. And he came down to be with us. Why would you leave perfection? If you had a choice to be on vacation forever, why would you ever leave that? It would have to be something really important to get me out of Bahamas, right? If I'm on a beach somewhere and I got a choice to stay, you got to have a really good reason to get me out of there. Jesus leaves heaven, which is way better, because it's that important. Oh, and it doesn't stop there. He doesn't just leave heaven. He sacrifices himself on the cross. The Father gives up his Son because of the gospel. He counts this as urgent. God's missions are, by definition, the most important. And this is the mission. And the mission is urgent. And God calls us to obedience and zealous, definitive action. That's what he's calling us to. I'm preaching to you that the gospel is urgent because God declares it so. In his word, in the fact that Christmas came, the incarnation he came, in the fact of the cross, and in your hearts, is the Spirit talking to you now? Is he giving you the level of urgency that he has for this? Can you feel that? I'm relaying the message. The remedy for the lost is the gospel. We must evangelize, and the need is urgent. This is the time of year where you're going to see some birds flying south for the winter. I was outside the other day, and I saw a flock of birds that were flying south. It's wintertime, and they're flying in a V formation. And if you don't know why, they fly in a V formation because somehow the airstream works so that it's easier for them to fly in such a way. So the one in the center of the V takes the brunt of all the wind force. But as that bird flies, its wings flap, it sends, I'm not going to get scientific on you, but it makes it easier for the birds to fly behind it. There's less air drag for those birds. And so they take turns being in the front and being in the back, and they work together. Why? Because they have a significant need that they need to cooperate on. They need to fly south for the winter. I was watching a documentary on penguins down in Antarctica. And when a blizzard hits, they're all in danger. You know what they do? They all huddle together, right? These penguins waddle together, and then they like huddle together. And you know what happens? In the center, it gets up to 100 degrees in a blizzard. If there's enough penguins together, it gets 100 degrees. How do you think a penguin does well? Do you think it does well at 100 degrees? No. So what does that penguin do? He waddles his way out after he gets too hot and someone else comes in, right? They cooperate. Why? There's a huge need. It's urgent. The blizzard's coming. If we just stand here all by ourselves, we're going to freeze. We're the same way. I was watching a documentary on New York, and it ended with 9/11. So that's been on my mind a lot lately. And guess what happened when 9/11 hit? Banded together, like the city, just boom, everyone together. Huge need. We got to cooperate. We got to get this figured out. When there's an urgent need, we cooperate. We do things together. We get together, and we work together because the need is urgent. There are people you know and love that don't know the Lord. The need is urgent. We need to get together and we need to cooperate. You've been given a life raft. Make sure you're sharing it. Now, I can understand, hey, you may not be feeling it. You may be like, hey, I get that. Nigel's really, he really feels this today, but I'm not getting it. If you're feeling a restraint in your heart, like if you're like, hey, I'm trying to get it, I'm trying to get there, or I'm just not there, I understand that. I get that. But I want you to do some looking into your heart. Like, what's going on there that you don't feel that same urgency? What's going on there that you have a blockage that you're like, I'm just not feeling the same level of urgency? A real likely culprit, and I don't know your heart. I don't know what it is. But here's a common thing that'll keep people from really going there with their heart. And it's because you lack love. I don't love cleaning my house, so I don't feel urgent about it. But when I love something, I get urgent. And that something's in need, man, it gets urgent. Our flesh loves itself. That's what it does. That's its nature. But the nature given from above compels us to love. And that is why we're talking about so much here, discipleship. Why do we want to be disciples? Why do we want to grow as disciples? It's because as we grow disciples, we will become more like Christ, and we'll be filled with the love that he has. And then we'll be compelled to do the things that God has called us to do. We'll be compelled. We'll have that urgency. We'll have that because we love him. And as we love him, we're going to love the people that he loves. And who did he love? He loved the lost. He loved us when we were lost. And so that's where I want you to start. If you're feeling like, hey, I don't feel it, I'm not getting there, I want you to look at, do you love, where's your love? Where's your love right now in your heart? And if it's not Christ, you're missing out. You're missing out and you're off track. We need to get back on track. Paul was molded by the Spirit, and he said this about the gospel. He said, I am compelled to preach the gospel. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Look, when you are filled with God's love, you're compelled to get the gospel out because you love people. It's there in your heart. You can't help it. It just comes out. And so when that is there, the gospel is what you care about. This world, folks, needs a lot less of us, and it needs a lot more of Christ. It needs a lot more of Christ. And let me talk to you. Let me step aside from pastor role for a second here. Let me step aside from that. And let me just talk to you as a person, as your friend. Okay? I love you guys. I love all of you. I want to see a lot less of you. Meaning, I want to see God more. That's what I want to see. I want to see God. I crave him. I want him. I want to see what he designed you to be. The fullness of you. Not this false flesh side of you that is bent on yourself and is selfish. The same one that I have. I don't want to see that. I'm sick of that in my own life. You get an opportunity to show me that. I'm dying to see it. This world hurts, folks. Like let's not pretend everything's fine just because we walked into a church building. Like, this world hurts. But there's a God out there who's perfect and good and beautiful. I want to see him. And each of you has the choice of whether you let him come out or not. So please let me see him. Be obedient. Submit to him. Get out of the way. I want to see him. I want my daughters to see him. Pastors' kids, they've got it rough, right? Because they're supposed to be perfect and the whole thing, and then they get to see what normal people don't get to see because they get to see all the stuff behind the scenes. My girls are going to see enough trash. It's going to happen. It's part of the job. I get that. Please let my daughters see God. my girls. Let my wife see that. I'm not saying you're not. Let me be really clear about this. I'm not saying I'm already seeing God a lot. I can go down the room and I can talk about ways that I've seen God through all of you. I just want more. I'm starving for more. I want more. And I hope you do too. All right, so back to being pastor here. You've got a great privilege. You can allow God to come and live through you. The person that died on a cross and rose again from the dead. How many of you guys like Robin Hood? Story Robin Hood? Or any of the movies? There have been so many stupid movies with Robin Hood. Robin Hood, it's a great story, right? Rob from the rich, give to the poor. Right? Why does he need to do that? Usually when you rob, that's a bad person. Well, he's a good person because King Richard is away. The true king is away, right? And then there's this, what is it, Prince John? Is that who it is? Prince John is the one that's kind of reigning while his brother's away. Stupid Prince John, and he's making everybody poor and treating people bad. And then Robin Hood comes in on the scenes, and he's got his band of merry men, and they're giving the money back to the people who should have it. Folks, you get to be the real life version of that. You get to be somebody in a land that was owned by a righteous king that is currently being ruled by an unrighteous ruler who is oppressing people, mistreating them, tearing them down, destroying them. And you get to infiltrate into that, and you get to cause all sorts of ruckus, and you get to turn it inside out and bring life to people. You get to be the real life Robin Hood. Let me say that again. Okay, because sometimes you lose it in, oh yeah, Robin Hood, that's it. No, you get to be the real one. You get to be really doing that. That's a story that's alluding to something that could happen. This would really be what you would be doing. Whenever you allow God to come reign through you, when he lives through you, you are being the real life Robin Hood. You're being the real life Neo or Morpheus or Trinity from the Matrix. You get to be the real life Luke or Leia or Han Solo or Rey from Star Wars. What's the center of that story? All those stories is you're a rebel who's under a false ruler, a reigning ruler who's terrible, but you are trying to give it to somebody that is righteous and good. You get to really live that. You get to really do that. That's really happening. That's really what's happening spiritually. So I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. That makes me want to urgently get into the gospel. Urgently move into discipling myself and seeing you all be discipled, because I want to be Robin Hood. I want to be Luke Skywalker. That's what I want to do. So how are we going to do it? Well, this is where our Vision 2020 comes in. And in talking about our plan, it may come across like I'm going to call an audible. I had more stuff there. I'm going to just stop with that. So we'll be talking more about in the next couple sermons about what we're doing with the Discipleship Pathway, what we're doing with evangelism, what we're doing with all those things. So I'm going to be sending emails out. We're going to have Sunday school. We're going to have these sermons. We're going to have a number of different ways that we're going to talk about it, because we want to make sure that we have prepared you well, and we want to see ourselves hit those goals. So for now, I want you to focus on this. If you are presenting the gospel, if you present the gospel at all, make sure to tell Willie about it, because we want to start tracking that. I can talk more about motivations about that a little later. Really what that's about is us trying to be encouraging to one another. Because every time we present the gospel, that's an opportunity that God has taken to share himself into the world. That's the infiltration there. That's the rebellion happening every time we present the gospel. And so we want to see how many times the Lord has allowed that to happen. And that's where that's coming from. So we're going to have more of that. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. But I'm going to wind it down with this here. There's a song from my life that has wrecked me countless times. I'm going to share with you. It's a song called Gold and Silver by a band called Stavesaker. And so here's what I want to do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a minute. This is for anybody that's a believer. If you're not a believer in here, if you're like, Christianity, I'm not sure about any of this. I'm not intending that this song for this purpose for you. But if you're a believer, I want you to take some time. I want you to take about 2 minutes, and I want you to think about somebody who's not a believer that you love, that you care about. And I want you to really think about them. And if there's any kind of judgment that comes in your mind or any kind of negativity towards them, I want you to get that out of there. That's a temptation. I want you to remove that. I want you to just think about loving them. And let everything that you think about that person be solely you about you loving them. And then, Sam, I'll give you the signal to start the song. And we'll have the words up here. If we can get the... Thank you. So take 2 minutes of silence and just think about that person that you love that doesn't know the Lord. But let's not let them go into the night without hearing that there's love offered for them. And so let's double down on the urgency of getting the gospel out. Let's double down on letting Christ form himself in us so that that love just pours out of us. If you're here today and if you are yourself struggling, I want you to hear that there are wings of gold. I can't remember how I did it. under wings of gold and silver. Sometimes we have to hide for shelter from these bitter winters, at least tonight. God has comfort for you. He has shelter for you in the tough times. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you loved us. You loved us, Lord. We were lost. We were gone. We were heavy. Hearted, we were beyond your land, and you brought us back. You saved us, Lord. You saved us with the blood of your Son. And so, God, I pray that you would instill in us the urgency that you have for the gospel, Lord. May we be wise in that urgency. May we not be frantic and flailing, but may we be pinpoint, accurate, and precise, gentle, deliberate in the way that we share the gospel, Lord. May you open up doors and opportunities for us to find those that we love and those that we haven't come to know yet, but that they don't know you, and we pray that you would open up doors for your gospel to go out, that you've offered life to those that are far away from you. I pray, Lord, that you would fill us with opportunities out in this community. May we go and take advantage of them, Lord. And may you bring salvation to those that don't know you. We praise you, Lord. In your name, amen. Now we're going to go into communion.